This show is sponsored by Dunkin' Cold K Cups. Dunkin' Cold K Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. It's convenient and tasty. You brew over ice, straight out of the Keurig coffee maker. You just brew over ice and you sip them in seconds. You're going to love these Dunkin' Cold K Cups. Enjoy the bold, smooth Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find Dunkin' Cold Coffee in the roasted coffee aisle. When you hear that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, you're probably thinking, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. All plans come with unlimited talk and text and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Our producer, Sean, is a big Mint Mobile guy. Here's what he had to say.
For a fraction of the cost, Mint Mobile proved to have excellent coverage with no drop calls or unsent texts. Plus, they make it super easy for me to activate my device just by following a few simple steps online. And bam, done. It was great.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/literally. That's mintmobile.com/literally and cut your wireless bills to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/literally. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
What's the picture behind you?
That is Katy Perry platinum album.
Okay. And you produced that?
Isn't it great?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Literally with me, Rob Lowe. One of my favorite actors, Tony Hale, is with us. He's bringing all of his Emmys that he won for Veep. He's going to bring them and clank them on the microphone so you know that they're here. He's done a lot of things, but I think that Arrested Development and Veep, I mean, they might be two of the best comedies ever made. There's certainly things on par with Arrested Development and Veep, but there's nothing better, that's for sure. So let's get started with Tony Hale. You, my fine feathered friend, I have to first of all just say, I love your work. You're so fucking
nice.
Good.
Same.
You have been two of the best comedies ever, I think. I mean, I think it's like Ty Cobb said, that's not bragging if you've done it. I mean, you look at Arrested and you look at Veep and it's kind of, what are you going to say? They're just great.
And I just wanted to, you as well, in the sense of, it's never, because when people say to me like, man, you've really kind of navigated that well. And like, I didn't navigate. I mean, I'm just thankful that those happened to be offered to me during that time. I mean, I've been in this business for over 25 years and you're so thankful for a gig. And these two gigs just happened, you know, Arrested. I was doing commercials in New York for all that time. Very thankful to be getting gigs. And my type was the guy that wasn't all there. That was how I was described. And it was like, I was doing commercials and then Arrested came around and I'm just grateful that that happened. I mean, it was nothing that I quote navigated, you know, I'm just super thankful.
First of all, the Arrested Development process for you was what? Was it, how did you come to it? Was it the old, just the regular way where it's out there, you read it, you like it, you meet people? Was it that kind of a thing? Or did they have you in mind from the start somehow?
Well, no. I was doing commercials and for about 6 years, I had been doing commercials. I had so many jobs before that, just trying to, you know, make ends meet and cater waitering and all this kind of stuff. And then I was kind of getting to a place where I was able to do enough commercials where I was able to do that more full time. Very thankful for that. But it took me 6 years to find an agent to send me out for TV and film because I was just seen as a commercial actor.
Okay, I love this. This is the best. Let's unpack that because it's such a great notion that an actor, because they're only on commercials.
Yeah.
Okay, so what style of acting is commercial acting?
Well, I would venture to say there's no difference. I mean, you got it from everything. You got to try to come from a place of truth because people aren't going to buy a product if you don't come from a place of truth. So I don't think there is a difference. But because I was doing so many commercials, they, just like our society, just kind of puts them in a category. They put me in a category of, well, he does commercials. That's a commercial actor.
It used to be there was a TV actor.
Yeah, it used to be there's a TV actor, and it's like that person just does sitcoms that they can't obviously over into film. Or if you have a film actor, that person obviously can't do comedy. All this kind of stuff. You know, and obviously, thankfully, those lines are really blurred right now. But back then, it was very much in compartments.
So insane. I mean, yeah. I remember it like it was yesterday.
And
it was,
oh, yeah.
Looking back on it, it's like once a domino falls in society, you look back on it and go, wait, did we really think that way then?
Oh, yeah. I mean, remember the pressure of just pilot season? There was a time when it was January. I mean, granted, I kind of back then I wanted to be in that pressure because I couldn't even get in the door to be seen. But there was months of like January to about maybe March that was considered pilot season. If you did not get seen in those months, then the rest of the year you did not have an option to get on a show. Like it was just that those were the only months that they were casting for sitcoms.
And was Arrested one of 10 in that pilot season or something like that for you?
Yeah. So this was 2000, I guess it was around 2000, end of 2002. And I was doing commercials. I had just gotten engaged. We were going to get married in May of 2003. And so I was really focused on the wedding, and this audition came around, and this casting director, Marcia DeBonis, who cast a lot of commercials, she brought me in for this Arrested Development. And the character was described as kind of checked out and not all there, which, you know, fit my profile, my commercial profile. And I went in and did I'd been a part of a sketch comedy group called King Baby. And I had done this character named Singing Billy, where he would just walk into a room and just randomly, awkwardly start singing.
Amazing.
And when I did the audition, Buster, for those who have seen the show, he would massage people a lot. Like he would just randomly start massaging somebody. And in the audition, Mitch Hurwitz, who created the show, who really is, I think the word genius is thrown around a lot, but he really has a touch of it. Like,
yeah.
But he created the show. And he said that when he was watching the tape, that when I was supposed to be massaging, I was massaging my knees, but he didn't know what I was doing down there because the camera cut off at my chest. Oh my and he God. Was like, what is he doing down there? And I don't know if that like, he was like, well, that's interesting. Let's bring him in.
Might have been titillated.
Yeah. So they flew me out to LA for the callback. And man, that had never happened to me. And I was like blown away. And then I ended up shooting the pilot when I was out there. And I remember specifically running out of underwear because I didn't pack right. So I had to go to Old Navy to get underwear. And then I shot the pilot and just kind of a whirlwind of like, what's going on? And then 10 days before I got married, the show got picked up. And I told my wife, I was like, sweetheart, I think we're moving to LA. And she was a makeup artist on SNL at the time. And, you know, really made a huge sacrifice to move out to LA with me.
We both married makeup artists, you and I.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep.
I'm telling you, dude, we're so far ahead of the game.
Where did you get? Did you meet on a gig?
We met actually on a blind date. Well, semi-blind because she knew it was me. But a mutual friend put us together. And we had a couple of dates and it was great, but you know, whatever. We both kind of had other things going and forgot about it. And then I did a movie years ago called Bad Influence. Mm-hmm. I walked on the set and she was the makeup artist.
Oh, I love that.
And then that just sort of began it from there. And, you know, we're 31 years we've been married.
Oh, now. Dude, that's fantastic.
But, you know, makeup artists, it's a thing because they see you at your most sort of vulnerable
yep.
every day.
Yep.
They're literally right up in your face. And I'm not trying to like gild the lily, but I think the good ones anyway, they look at a person and see them differently than other people see them. And their job is to make them the best version of themselves. And you think about that, what a great foundation.
Oh, it is. And it's, as you know, the hair and makeup trailer is kind of a sacred space. Like it's the where there's what you said, you're coming in with a tremendous amount, especially when she was on SNL. Like these people would sketches, and it was a place where they didn't need notes. They needed calm, assuring spaces to kind of let their mind rest, you know, and that's typically the hair and makeup trailer.
Well, and SNL, even more than any place, Jesus, I can't even imagine. She must be so good. SNL, it's like they need to know that the person knows what they're doing because they might have 90 seconds.
Exactly.
To get their act together.
Did you, have you hosted?
Yeah, and she must have worked with me. I haven't done it in years, though, so maybe not. The last time I was on SNL was 2001 or 2001.
She was probably there. Was it the Molly and Will?
Molly and Will were still there.
Yep. Yeah. That was her. Cause she was Anna Gastar was her. She did Anna's makeup because each actor has a little team of hair and makeup.
Yeah. I was really lucky because I feel like I did it three times and I kind of feel like each time was a new iconic cast. And we talk a lot about everybody says, Lauren says, I said, Lauren, who's the best cast? And he goes, it's whoever you grew up watching. And it really is. It kind of is the truth. Like everybody today who's young and watches SNL is going to say it's Pete Davidson and
Kate
McKinnon. And they're great. And it's hard to argue.
But I do
think it's a little bit of like who you grew up with.
Did you, that moment when obviously you get better as you do it more, but that moment when you're about to step out and do your monologue, do you to go through mindful kind of calming meditation or?
By the time I did SNL, it was late enough in my career and I was such a fan. I was a fan of SNL. I watched the first season
as a
12-year-old.
Yeah.
And I was so thrilled to be there. That I just took it in. But I will tell you that I don't think anything in my life, certainly in my professional life, is as full of adrenaline.
Yeah.
And whatever that juice is, when Don Pardo, who was alive at the time, the famous Rob Lowe, and the band is going berserk and you make that. Oh, God, it's the absolute greatest.
And the most terrifying. I mean, you just have to just go.
You just totally commit and then it's over. Literally, like, he says your name and the show's over and you don't know what happened.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. I did a one-man show 2 years ago up in San Francisco called Wakey Wakey by Will Eno. And every night before going up, I had that just absolute terror. And my wife, we would talk about kind of that SNL, like just that moment before, because it's like in a stand-up. I mean, I've never done stand-up, but I'm sure it's very similar, but it's just you, you know? And it's like, I'm not falling back on anyone. And it's terrifying.
I know.
And you just have to, there's this woman named Joyce Myers. She was this preacher I used to listen to years ago. And she always said, she went with anxiety. She always said, you just got to do it afraid. Just do it afraid.
Mm.
And I loved that because for so many years I had in my head of like, oh, I got to be in this peaceful kind of courageous space. It's like, no, you might be just losing your shit and you just got to keep walking.
That's right. I mean, the scaredest I've ever been, and you know, careers always have periods of like fallow. There's, you know, feast and famine. And I think every long career, and I was in sort of a famine phase. It was right before I got the West Wing. And I did it was going to be my first TV show and it was a pilot. This is the best. So I'd finished working with Mike Myers on all the SNLs, the Wayne's Worlds, and we had just finished Austin Powers together.
Mm.
And he had an idea for a TV show for me. And it was based on, because I played young Robert Wagner in Austin Powers, young number two. Yeah. I did it. And he was like, you and Robert Wagner should play father and son. He plays basically himself, aging TV icon. And you're the son who can't get out of his shadow, who lives in the Beverly Hills guest house and is kind of a ne'er-do-well. And I was like, that sounds like a great set. I would still do that. By the way, I'd still do that show.
Yes, totally.
So we sell it to NBC. And by the time we're done with the NBC notes, it is, I am starring with Dan Hedaya playing his son running a sports bar in Chicago. Like, you literally cannot make that up. And that is absolutely what happened.
Was it something that they kept? Like, did they say, well, what about this? And what about this? Or was it something that all of a sudden,
you know what it is? It's like being, you know, the story about frogs. You can boil a frog alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you just gradually turn up the heat, they don't notice. Yeah. And they don't hop out of the pot.
Yes.
You could hop out of, but because it's incremental, they just let this be boiled alive. Yes. Yes. That's what it was for me.
Yes.
I was boiled alive by the NBC executives. And I didn't realize that I had ended up in a pilot with Dan Hedaya as my dad running a sports bar. I really didn't. I never even noticed it. And
I'm just seeing you wake up at 3 a.m. going, what just happened?
No. Well, what happened is I woke up when they said my name in front of the live audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was when I was the most scared I've ever been. My knees were knocking. You know, that's a thing. Like, you know, cartoon characters, when they get their knees knock. That, have you ever had your knees knock?
No, but my hands shake. So when I've done shows in the past where I'm holding something, I'll have to put something in a cup or something, because my hand will just... And I'm staring at it. I'm sounding calm. And I'm like having a stroke in the hands.
Well, see, it sounds like you might have been guilty of cup acting.
I do not cup act well. I don't cup act well.
I love watching for things like that in performances.
Really? And you like to point out shame?
I will show you the best bad cup acting ever, 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 ever. If you're interested in cup acting out there, and I know you all are, it's when actors don't bother to actually put anything in the cup. And so you can just tell by the weight of it, there's nothing in it. And they fake drink it. Remember,
that also goes for like bags too, like luggage. All of a sudden, wow, that luggage is really light.
Yeah. They're walking through an airport and they're just twirling that shit on their fingers.
They didn't really carry much on the trip.
No, I love, and there's a whole thing, I don't know about you, it's a negotiation always, like, how much is too much? You don't want to wear yourself out, but you don't want to look like you're luggage acting.
Yeah.
So when Kevin Spacey released that first insane video.
Yeah, in the kitchen.
The worst cup acting you've ever, the fact that that's my takeaway from that video tells you how bad the cup acting is.
Do you notice continuity with cups too? That can be a little crazy making too. Like, wow, I thought they just took a big sip and it's full.
Really eating is the one that I love. I'm convinced that James Gandolfini and Tony Soprano is purely because he committed to eating and clearly ate on screen.
Do you take small bites if you have to eat a lot in a scene?
What I do when I eat is I take one massive bite, as big as I can get in my mouth on camera in one take. And then in the rest of the takes, I'm just
talking. Wow.
Like that, so I don't have to, right? Because the small bites look like you're food acting.
Yeah, but you got to be comfortable in the fact of your mime eating.
Got to commit.
You got to commit, but it's got to look real. Because if it doesn't look real, you're screwed. If there's nothing in your mouth,
I'll put my fake food acting up with anybody's.
Because if it's not authentic, it's very apparent.
Very apparent. I saw a clip of you last night. By the way, I'm convinced
Are you going to bring up my bad acting right now? Is that what you're going to talk
about? No. This is all good acting. Okay, I've transitioned to good acting.
Okay.
No. My TikTok algorithm listens to me. I know it. And last, I was just doing research on you, and last night, sure enough, here comes it was just a simple little thing where you were giving Julia a banana. So all you did was you leaned over and said something like, this is an interim banana. It just made me laugh so hard.
Dude, I had so much, even talking about that, I have so much nostalgia with Veep, because I'm sure you've met Julia, but
she's my neighbor. She lives in Santa Barbara.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And she, it was just like a dance we did to get like a comic dance all the time. And we trusted each other. And I've said this many times, but it's so true. I had such a hard time holding it together, and not laughing, just a really, really hard time. And she said to me once, you know, Tony, you're not watching the show, you're in the show.
Yeah.
And it's just because I couldn't keep it together. I mean, when you're that close to someone like that and her subtleties and the little grunts she does and all that kind of stuff, it's like, it's impossible. There was one scene, I think it was the first season where, maybe the second, first season, where she, because I play her assistant on the show, and she asks me to break up with her boyfriend. And we're just like face to face, and she's whispering me to tell me to do it. And there's a two shot of us. And it's like, that's impossible. Like you can't, talk about shaking. Every part of my face is shaking, ready to, you know, let go with laughter, and you got to keep it together. It's a feat.
I mean, first of all, everybody knows she's great. I think at this point it's stipulated, but you look, she's never been in anything on television that wasn't hit. Her version of not a hit is running for only 4 seasons. Really?
Yeah. And she, the thing that I so appreciate about her is with her comic resume,
yeah.
You know, some people kind of can put their feet up and be like, well, that was a good run. She works her ass off.
And then crushing it as she has been. And as you say, not only does she not need to do it, but like you start worrying about, and as without saying too highfalutin, a legacy. Mm-hmm. Like she's Seinfeld. So you're like, okay, now what?
And I would add to that, when you have that kind of, you know, talk about financially or career, and you know this as well, you can go one of two directions. You meet people who are that level and they've kind of dove into kind of the falseness of things, and they want more of something that's not going to satisfy.
Right.
And it never ends. It will never be enough. Or you go the other direction, like Julia, where her priorities, she knows what's real in life and what matters. And she focuses on those simple truths. And that's right. A person that is like, she's so kind on set. She's a team player. Like that's the stuff that matters in life. And that's where I walk away. I'm like, oh, I'm so thankful that I got to work with someone like that.
It's such a great show. Where else can you go surfing and skiing in the same day, or check out a world-class art museum and camp out under a brilliant night sky same day, or hike through the redwoods and get a luxury spa treatment? There's only one answer: California. No matter where you go across this state, you will find a way to play. I love California. And I have not yet surfed and skied in the same day, although I do both. So that is on my bucket list. It's the most beautiful place in the world. Discover why California is the ultimate playground. Head to visitcalifornia.com to start planning your trip today.
Thanks to Quince, I can get high-end, versatile pieces at fantastic prices. They've got killer luxury essentials that are perfect for my wardrobe. Quince has all the must-haves, like Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes that savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. One of my producers tried Quince, and here's what he had to say.
I'm really excited to revamp my closet with Quince. There are so many great options at pretty unbeatable prices. I'm really excited to try out the burgundy cashmere crew neck. I love the blue chore jacket. Maybe I'll throw some joggers in there. These are great options at pretty unbeatable prices.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/rob for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince, quince.com/rob to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/rob. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. I know that for me, people are out, people are about,
people want to do stuff and we want to do it, but it can be a grind. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapist at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/RobLowe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/RobLowe.
I also need to circle back. I mean, so many people aren't arrested, but Jason.
Yeah.
I think Jason, that's the greatest. And when I say this phrase, it almost, to people may, might not really understand, it sounds vaguely condescending, and it's not. It's the greatest straight man part in ever performance.
Yeah.
And he's not a straight man, but he is the straight man in that show.
Yeah. But you've got to be really skilled to be a straight man and bounce off that kind of chaos and turn a joke. Because the deadpan delivery that he gives when he's I mean, because my character, Buster, he's pretty much a cartoon character. Like, he's completely checked out.
Yeah.
And when you have to play that kind of neutral place opposite that and turn a joke, like, that's he was the anchor of that show, 100%.
You're right. Those characters, you know, Will,
yeah,
all of them. Will, I mean, they're cartoon characters.
Yeah, fully. Yeah, and I think it even got bigger as the season.
It does
went
get
on.
Bigger. No, it does. That's what's insane.
Where the characters got bigger and bigger to the point where I was like, "Am I doing mime? Like, am I? I'm a full on clown."
Did you get to a point where you started to? Because when I played Chris Traeger in Parks and Rec, again, a cartoon character, and
so
with
funny,
each year, again, it got bigger and bigger. And I would go, what? Have I given up all dignity and shame? And then you go, no. That's just, you just do
Don't
it.
Don't you ask yourself that all the time in this business? It's like, what is happening? Like, what am I playing right now? You know?
Yes. 100%.
But don't you think this is where, being on a show like Parks and Rec and doing a show like Arrested, to be in an environment of people that you trust and you trust, like I walked into Arrested and I walked into Veep. These people are way funnier than I am. And so the writers are so gifted, and you felt like, man, the comedy is taken care of, because they would just hand you nuggets like Mitch Hurwitz on Arrested. I remember coming up to him once and being like, I had a stupid idea, and I said, oh, I thought, what about like Buster was like on Dancing with the Stars or something, like silly, you know, pitched an idea. And he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to have a seal bite off your hand. And I was like, well, you know, okay. I never, ever was not even in the framework. But you feel so supported comedically. And you must have gotten that on Parks and Rec. It's like you just felt like, yeah, this is taken care of.
Exactly right. I'm with people way funnier than me. And all I got to do is not get swamped.
Yeah.
And commit and trust.
Yeah. I have a question for you, being on West Wing, because we got this on Veep. Did you constantly, just being in that kind of political world, I mean, were people in D.C. just always...
Bro, isn't it insane? Isn't it insane?
Yeah.
It's like when I go to D.C., it's like the Beatles have arrived, or the Rolling Stones, or whoever it would be now, Kanye West, whatever. There's that moment where I'm like, they do know it's a show, right? Like, I have multiple amazing memories of
course.
I mean, I had Bill Clinton when he was president in the Oval Office pitching story ideas, and we have to get, I've been waiting to get to him to Aaron Sorkin.
And oh, so good.
And, you know, as Aaron can be a little uncomfortable in his own skin from time to time, Aaron like got completely short-circuited by the fact that the president of the United States, the sitting president, was pitching story ideas And Aaron just like, oh, you seem like a busy guy. Oh, thanks so much. This is great. And like ran. And I was like, dude, you just walked out on the President of the United States.
That is so good. Well, but I mean, the thing is with Veep, people would come up to me and say, hey, someone said like, oh yeah, I'm that character. And I'm like, yes. First of all, let's not say that out loud because yes. Veep puts the best light on politics. But they said like this stuff, like the language, the behind the scenes breakdowns, all that is happening.
The other thing about Veep I loved is whoever was in charge of the, ad campaign, whatever, it wasn't year one or two, but like in mid run where it's kind of like, okay, everybody's won Emmys and it's a great show and we get it and you guys are good to go. They still managed to up their game. It was the one where it was a picture of Julia where it looked like she was at the United Nations. And it's just that kind of like it said her name and that plaque that we all know looks like the United in the microphone. And she was nodding
off. Yes, yes, yes. She's falling asleep.
It was the absolute.
Yes.
To laugh out loud at a picture. It was so subtle and so funny.
I'm glad you said that because this is a random tangent, but my wife and I are watching 6 Feet Under over again, and I was watching Michael C. Hall, and then it made me think of Dexter. And the thing that I think about with Dexter was the ad campaign.
Yes.
I was talking about her. There was one ad campaign where Dexter was on the cover of every magazine. It was like he was on GQ, he was on Vanity Fair, and that was the whole ad campaign. And I distinctly remember thinking, man, these marketing people, they do not get enough credit because that is a kick-ass marketing campaign.
And for everyone that you and I like, they're ones that repel me.
Oof.
From watching something that's good.
Yes. Yes.
Like, yes. I'm a big Robert Eggers fan. The Witch, The Lighthouse.
Mm.
Huge fan. He did The Northman or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's great. I've heard it's great. Those commercials made it look terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the power of a trailer, man. Also, if the trailer is, if it's a comedy and that trailer is not funny, ooh, and that film is actually funny, why are you shooting yourself in the foot? Like,
yeah.
who's editing this trailer? Because when you see a trailer and that's not funny, and it's a comedy.
I like the trailers where they have to tell you it's a comedy with a needle, with like a, like the needle drop. Like somebody tells a joke and then they put that sound effect.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's a comedy.
Oh, yeah. Got it now.
God, so gross. So damn gross.
That was
gross.
A pretty good impression of Aaron Sorkin, by the way.
I love you in Veep.
Oh my gosh. Because I was fortunate enough to do Being the Ricardos with him.
Have you met Nicole yet? She's a lovely woman.
He is so nice. And there's so much going on in his head. And I also appreciate he shares these really vulnerable stories to kind of connect with the actor and to kind of connect with the material. You talking like that, that is pretty spot on.
Take you back. See, I've never been directed by him. And I'm so curious. I mean, I absolutely have my own idea of what that would be like, having spent we did A Few Good Men together in the West End
for
a year after West Wing. And so, by the way, never seen him happier other than in the theater. Never an off day in the theater. It's like when he says he's a play, he means it. So I'm wondering what the director
wasn't J.K.
like.
Simmons in that with?
I wish he was. Oh my God, do I love him. It was all English cast. I was the only American playing. I played the Caffey part, the Tom Cruise part. But I loved Being the Ricardos. And J.K. was fucking amazing.
Yeah,
everybody was amazing.
Because I feel like him and Aaron had that history through something like that. But
I don't know, though, dude. I feel like they're so simple. In fact, it's funny you say that. In a movie full of showy, and that Aaron writes showy stuff for actors, J.K.'s speech, that little speech he has.
Yes, outside.
Is my favorite moment in the whole movie.
Yeah, it's so sweet. And he really, and you know, obviously people always talk about Aaron Sorkin like it's by the word and stuff like that, but there's a respect for the word.
Yes.
You know, like everybody knows when you step into theater, there is a respect for what's on the page. Yep. When you go on TV and film, there's that there's not as much of that respect. Why not? And so I love that Aaron, you know, keeps that.
And the other thing is, like, why would one ever want to improve on something that's great?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to put my stamp on anything that other than if it needs help. And his stuff is so good. I had a, it's funny. It was with Jason Bateman. I had a conversation where I guess there was a moment where they were talking about him doing Newsroom before Jeff. I think there was a thing of like, do we want to go as old as, you know, do we want to go, is there a younger iteration? And Jason was like, so I'll never forget. Aaron had won his, and you can imagine this.
I'm just waiting to see Aaron Bateman.
Yeah. Right. We're going to try to do Bateman and Aaron at the same time. And we're at the Vanity Fair Oscar party, and there's Aaron the other side of the room with his Oscar in his hand. And Jason's like, so I'm doing a horrible Bateman now, but he's like, do you really have to, I can't even do it. But anyway, he was saying, do you really have to like be letter perfect? And I go, yeah. He said, really? Like, but letter, but there's no like, let's find it, or how about this? Or maybe I could do, I go, nope.
With that said though, I also know that there were times, and granted, I did not work on his material as much as you did, but there were times if something doesn't feel right, you could tell that he sensed that. Like he's like, yeah, this something needs to be massaged here. You know, it's like,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't mean this as any judgment at all. What it isn't is somebody sort of, how about this? And ad lib, it's never that. It's him flying off his seat with throwing the headphones behind him and going, how about, you come in, you say, we're not going to do it. And then we just lose that. And he just Bill just comes in and then he just says, we're going to the office. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because he's got it in his head.
The best person piece of direction, because he never directed West Wing. He never directed it.
Oh, really?
Never directed an episode.
Oh,
wasn't even on his radar to do it.
Wow.
And wasn't there all the time. I mean, he was always writing there, but he was on the set, you know, a lot, but not all the time. But when he would be there, you know, he would mime the words as you said them behind the monitor. And be very excited or very disappointed, depending on whatever the case is. So he was super fun to have around. But he would get increasingly frustrated with one particular person who was on the show sometimes. And this is the best. And the person had the line, I'll never forget it. The line was, thank you, I'll get right on it. And it was the end of the scene, and they were supposed to walk away. And Aaron comes in, throws the headphones, and goes, the line is, thank you. I'll get right on it. It doesn't mean you want to fuck him. It's not, we're going to get together. We're going to get laid. Anything like that. It's just, thank you. I'll get right on it. Just say it. Just say that.
Oh, and the director's like, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
You heard it.
Hey, listeners. Ever have trouble getting someone on the phone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER. To get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store
and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
I love fast cars, but there aren't a ton of high performance EVs. They're certainly out here there. But when I get a chance to get behind the wheel of one, I love it. And I was blown away by the Kia EV6 GT. When you get behind the wheel of the Kia, it is literally like being in a state-of-the-art rocket ship, but also comfortable. The thing goes from 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds. It is the premium driving experience. And of course, it's an EV. So the climate thanks you. SiriusXM provides access to over 165 channels in the vehicle. Music, sports, news, comedy, yacht rock. Let's go. Little Steely Dan going in your Kia. Come on now. So check it out today. It is the all-electric Kia EV6 GT. I had a blast checking it out. Believe me, you should do it yourself via kia.com/EV6 to learn more. That is kia.com/EV6. Kia, movement that inspires.
Oh, dude, do people just want to sit down with you, Rob, and just hear you talk about your history? Does it get old just because the stories that you have lived and what you've been through? And also, I mean, I get really excited, obviously, because I'm a fan, but talking to somebody who has pretty much, you've had every height and you see what matters and what doesn't matter.
Oh, man.
You know, and to have the opportunity to communicate that. I mean, also, I'm sure you've talked to students and stuff, but it's like, hey, when you're looking at the future, just so you know, behind the curtain, this is the reality. And it's the simple stuff that matters. Like, to have that opportunity. Oh, I don't know. I think that's pretty great.
Well, I love being able. Listen, I realized, so I wrote two books, and then I did created a one man show, and I tour it here and there as I have the opportunity to do it.
What is it called?
Stories I Only Tell My Friends Live, which is basically the book. It's not the book, but it is the book. It's like, it's the next, instead of writing a third book.
Okay.
I did this, and it's telling stories. It's nice. Literally, I tell the story of Aaron and Clinton in the middle of it. I mean, and it's fun because I actively try what's important are memories.
Yes.
That is what is important. Yes. And
teaching, we learn from mistakes, like teaching. I've made a shitload of mistakes. Yes. I have given value to stuff that doesn't matter.
That's
right. You know, like invest in relationships over, you know, whatever other thing you're putting at the top of the list. I mean, all that kind of stuff.
100. I mean, you know, I love talking to, you know, kids, your kids' age about drugs and alcohol.
Sure.
You know, because I'm 32 years sober.
Oh, and amazing. Amazing.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's saved my life, and I love it, and it's super fun, and I have way more fun than I ever did. But, and by the way, I loved getting fucked up. Loved it. It was great. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't anybody want to?
Because
so I get it.
It's detachment. I mean, it's the ultimate escape. The unhealthy escape is the ultimate escape.
And now I just sleep all the time.
Yeah, great.
It's the new escape. My new escape. My disassociate. If I want to disassociate from you, I will. I will become a narcoleptic.
I can sleep with my eyes open, and I have been asleep this entire time.
I can kind of sleep. I've slept through, although I think it's pretty clear I've slept through performances. I mean, just look at some of my work. No. He's like, well, that guy, he was definitely sleeping through. I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about Oxford Blues, but let's just be completely frank. Oh my God. So funny. Tell me, you're playing twins now.
Yeah, I'm playing twins.
I've never done that. Tell me about playing twins.
Oh, it's a show called Mysterious Benedict Society. It's on Disney Plus. It is, and this is not me just blowing, it is such a joy because I get to work with these writers, Matt Manfredi and Phil Hay and Todd Slavkin, Darren Schwimmer, all these great people. And it's based on this book by Trenton Stewart. In the first season, I get to play these two brothers who were separated at birth in an orphanage, and one is kind of the quote evil, but you know, I like to say he's a little more just misinterpreted. And then one is the kind, loving brother. But the first season talks a lot about it was wild because I shot it during the pandemic in Vancouver. And it talked a lot about the noise of society and the truth rising above the noise. And so it was weird to kind of be in that kind of parallel thing happening with the pandemic. And it's just a really, this great cast of kids. It's just a beautiful story. And playing twins, and you can, I mean, people have asked me that question of kind of doing it. And You have to, with these characters, for me to say, oh, that's the evil guy, that's the good guy, I have to come from a place, you have to find places in yourself in those characters. Like the quote, evil twin, he's very manipulative, he's very sarcastic. Guess who's also been very manipulative in their life? Me. Guess who's also pretty sarcastic? Me. You know, you have to find those connections in order to find that authenticity. And so that's been a real fun challenge.
Do you find that you prefer playing one to the other? Or does it depend on what you're having to do on any given day?
I think it depends on the day, but Benedict, who is the kind of loving, kind of warm character, I really do enjoy playing him because, you know, I don't know, maybe I myself am kind of sarcastic and all that kind of, and Benedict is just so loving and just sees things very positively, and I really enjoy playing him. Just like, I don't know, he's just super kind, and that makes me sound like I'm a jerk, but like, I don't know, the way his perspective on life is really a fun escape.
And you're in season three?
We just shot season two. So that comes out in the fall.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And then season one's out on Disney Plus, which is, I think owns everything now. I think it's owning everything. I think that's the case.
I've heard of Disney Plus. So is it my imagination? Do I remember, like, wasn't Disney Plus like almost exclusively at the beginning family with a capital F and underlined? But this sounds like this is has a little more sophistication, where it's not where it's like, you know, you know what I'm saying?
This show definitely had, I mean, not to sound cliche, but parents that I've known who have kids that watch it, the parents enjoy it because it's aesthetically really, really beautiful. And Kristen Schaal's in it with me. I don't know if you know Kristen, She's really fun. And so it has things that adults can enjoy, but it definitely has a sophistication to it.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, it's really fun, really beautiful. And, you know, I mean, as you know, working on these shows, I have such a respect for the team, man. Like, These art directors, props, costumes, makeup, wardrobe. We're talking massive artistry, and everybody's on the same page. And it's just like, I mean, we're a very small slice of this pie. Like, we come in, we do our thing. I mean, just the work that's put into these shows just blows me away.
Well, and that's why then you go and do your one-man show.
Yeah.
To make sure that you can still do it without the army.
Sure. Sure.
Right?
And how many shows have you had? How many times have you done that?
Oh, God. I've played probably every city in the United States.
Wow.
And I mean, all of the, of what they would call the big cities.
Yeah. Yeah.
I played the National Theater in London.
Wow, man.
Which was really a thrill. I'm sorry. I'm playing the National.
That's pretty great.
And then the pandemic happened.
Yeah, sure.
And so that kind of shut it down. Oh, I played Vegas. That was also cool.
Oh, that's how many, did you do like several nights in Vegas or just one night in Vegas?
I did. To usually I just do one night.
Yeah, sure.
So it was super fun to play Vegas.
And is it you, do you, is it a chair and you're just up there telling, or do you kind of go into characters?
No characters. I designed a big clip montage hype reel that actually ends at the West Wing.
Oh, cool.
And then I designed an entrance.
Sure,
because I'm a big believer in theatricality done the right way.
Yeah,
and then there's the great old Frank Langella move that I've heard. You've heard this. The story was when Frank Langella did Dracula. This is dating me, like in the early, late 70s or 80s, that he would do this move where, during the curtain call, everybody else would come out, take their bows, and make a line, right, and then the quote-unquote lead of the show comes out. And he would do this thing where he, like, where you're like, oh, is this for me? do you know that, like, that move?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Where you're like, you're just so surprised that you're, aren't you nice? Like that move you're projecting to the audience.
Yeah.
And so you kind of like look, hit your hand, put both hands on your chest. Like, oh, like this is for me. And then you slowly put your hands out back to the audience, like you're giving your heart back to the audience.
Yeah.
And then, and this is the move, you ever so slowly raise your hands up, and it's a Pavlovian cue, and the audience will stand.
Really?
Yep.
Does it work every time for you?
It does.
Cut to this next show. It's not going to work. Wow.
I'd heard it, and then like I thought it was the most brilliant thing I'd ever heard. And then it was like, that can't be. And then you don't have the guts to do it. You can't. Yeah, like, I never had the guts to do it. And then I did it enough to know that it works. I obviously don't do it now, but it's amazing that that.
But it also gets into kind of the hypnotic kind of manipulation realm, which is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I don't know why I'm standing, but I find myself standing.
I mean, look, if you could do it in the UK and get it to happen, that would be doing something, because American audiences literally stand and applaud scenery changes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great that they're enthusiastic, but a standing ovation means absolutely nothing in the United States.
Yeah.
It means nothing.
Yeah.
In the UK, when we did A Few Good Men, I think I did 180 something performances.
Wow. Wow.
And I'm telling you, we got maybe 15 standing ovations. And it was a massive hit.
Yeah, yeah.
They just don't do it.
Do you feel like this show scratches the itch of theater for you, or do you want to go back and do a play? Do you feel like you want to dive back into that kind of narrative again?
I got to be honest, it scratches the itch because of the commitment, which I don't mind the commitment. I love the 15-week run. I love it.
Yeah.
And all of that. Doing two television series now, one for Netflix and one for Fox.
Wow.
The podcasts. I just don't have the time, but I would love to if I was in between stuff. And this is perfect because, like, I can have this life, do what I do, and then, you know, go play Caesars. I love that. Well, I'm playing Caesars. It's me and Sammy Davis Jr.
Where do you eat when you go to Vegas that you love?
Oh, you can eat yourself into a coma.
I know, because it's a huge food town. I always ask.
I ate at this Italian place at Aria.
A-R-I-A?
Yeah, at the hotel casino Aria.
Uh-huh.
And it's the only Italian place that's there. I go to Zuma, which is amazing sushi.
Mm.
It's a spinoff of the one in London, which is some of the best sushi in the world.
Mm.
And it was great. I love going to Vegas. I saw Katy Perry this weekend. She was my girl. I'm on my back right there.
Sure.
She was great.
Does she know that she's on your back wall?
No, I need to tell her.
Okay. I'll call her up.
Mr. Tony Hale, this was great. I've taken up too much of your time.
No, this was so fun. This is a joy.
A joy. I really want to find my way onto a set with you someday, sir.
Yes, please. And I want to come see your show. So I guess you're probably not planning another run.
Let's have our people.
Sure.
Reach out to our people.
Our team.
And have our teams reach out. And we'll do this.
Well, thank you for having me. This was really, really, really fun.
What a great guy. God, how great is he? I mean, so smart, so funny. These are kind of among my favorite podcasts where, by the way, I'd never met Tony until today. And one of the great things I love about doing this show is I get to meet people that I'm fans of, and it feels like I've known him forever. And what a lovely, lovely, lovely talk. I hope you guys liked it as much as I did.
You got questions? I got answers. Let's hit the lowdown line.
Hello, you've reached literally in our lowdown line, where you can get the lowdown on all things about me, Rob Lowe. 323-570-4551. So have at it. Here's the beep.
Hey, Rob. My name's Billy. I'm in near Bend, Oregon. I was just saying I've been a big fan of yours over the years, and just happy to be able to talk to you. I was just wondering if how you get through with such a positive attitude through your life all the time. What kind of tips you have for the rest of us? Or what do you do when you feel down, when you feel low? Thanks for letting us have this line to get a hold of you. Thanks, Rob. Have a great day.
Well, Ben, thank you for calling. And Jesus, it doesn't sound like you need any help. You're about as upbeat as anybody who's ever called the listener line. And I love that. I do think I was born an optimist. I'm a glass, half full guy. There are other people who are not. But I also know that if I didn't have down times, then I wouldn't be a human. And I do have them. And I think they're super important, actually. Nobody could or should be up all the time, nor can they be or should they be down all the time. And when I'm down, I like to sleep. I can literally sleep it off. I just like, you know what? I'm calling cut on this day. This day is over. We're going to start again tomorrow. So if you can do that, I'm a huge believer in that. I also am super aware that that everything, all pain is temporary. It really truly is. And it feels like it's never going to end. And it does. Again, sleep helps. You wake up and it's an actual restart. It's like you turn your phone off if it had bugs in it, or your computer, you do that. So I try to do that with my body. Also, as a longtime listeners will know, I'm a big fan of therapy and of, just getting your mind right. We would do it with our cars again. If, you have your 1500 mile checkup, why not do it with your spirit and all of that? So those are the kind of things I do. And, but thank you. Thank you for the call.
Don't forget to subscribe to all of the rest of the menu of this show. And don't forget, I've become the Lucky Charms Irishman for some reason. I'm just following my muse, which is my want. It's my show. If I want to do a bad Irish accent, I'm going to do it. I'm going to stop now. 5-star review. Those are cool on Amazon. And I will see you next week back here on Literally with me.
You've been listening to Literally with Rob Lowe, produced by me, Rob Schulte, with help from associate producer Sarah Begar. Our coordinating producer is Lisa Berm. Our research is done by Alyssa Grawl. The podcast is executive produced by Rob Lowe for Low Profile, Adam Sachs, Jeff Ross, and Joanna Solitaroff at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson at Stitcher. All of the music you hear is by Devin Bryant. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on Literally with Rob Lowe.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Stitcher.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.